Welcome. We are gathered here today to find comfort from the Word of God upon the death of your dear husband, your dad, your grandpa, our brother and our friend, Brother Garrett DeWitt. He was born, as you see in the program, on September the 26th, 1928 in Fort McLeod, Alberta, and he passed away on February the 15th, 2021, here in Chilliwack, British Columbia. We read in the obituary that after marrying Wilma and starting his family, he farmed for many years in southern Alberta. Garrett's passion for farming led him to move the entire family to New Zealand, Oregon, and Falkland, BC. Although Garrett actively retired from farming in 1992 at the age of 64, it was never far from his heart as he continued to be involved in his original farm in Alberta until 2019. Garrett had a great love for the Lord and was active in church activities that served and glorified God. As a devoted husband, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, Garrett prided himself in gathering his family together to hike, golf, and play games. His grandchildren will fondly remember playing board and card games with their grandpa, who was renowned for his love of games and winning. He'll be deeply missed by his family and friends. And if I can add just a personal note to that, I can also attest to the fact that he was dearly loved by the congregation here in Chilliwack, and he loved to socialize with members of the church and play games too. And I'm sure there's many young people and young couples who will fondly remember playing games with your dear loved one as well. And he loved to have them over for those activities. And he was also loved conversation. He loved to meet with anyone or everyone who would come and visit him. Even in the last weeks of his life, he still loved to have people just converse with him and talk about a wide range of topics. He talked about politics. He talked about church. He talked about family. He talked about farming and business and stock markets and all those things. You never knew what you were going to get, kind of conversation you were going to get in with our brother Garrett. But most of us, or all of us who have visited him, most certainly enjoyed our time with him. And then, of course, the fellowship we had in the gospel. And it's really the gospel, the word of God, which gives us comfort on days such as this. And we welcome not only those of you who are here, only so few because of the current restrictions, but also the many we trust are joining us online through the video link as well. Well, it's at times like this that the gospel makes a great difference, because we can go on in the world and life continues, but suddenly we're confronted with the reality that we are here only so briefly. And even though your loved one reached a very high age, nevertheless, his time here has come to an end, and he's entered eternity. And that forces us to focus on eternity, not only for him, but also for ourselves, and to ask what awaits us in eternity. Your loved one knew what awaited him. His hope was in Christ, and so he was assured that he too would live forever in the presence of the Lord. And hear now these words of comfort from the scriptures. We are gathered here today confronted by death and in so many ways filled with sorrow, but Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then in that same passage, he outlined the way. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And we have the comfort to know that your loved one, your husband, your dad, your grandpa, your brother, our friend, is one who knew life, which came through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself says, "I am the resurrection and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through me. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live," Jesus says. And Jesus asks us the question, do you believe this? Just like he asked Mary and Martha that day when Lazarus had died, he said, "Do you believe this?" And we're confronted with the same question. Do you believe what the scriptures teach about our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the one mediator between God and man? When you believe in him, then you have eternal life. And our catechism says that so nicely when it says, what comfort do you receive from the article about the life everlasting? And it says, since I now already feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, I shall after this life possess a perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, being in the presence of the Lord. And we know that Paul reminds us that death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then again, we read of John in Revelation, speaking of the blessedness of that state, when he says God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And we may believe and trust that these are all the experiences of your dear loved one, your husband, your dad, and your grandpa, our friend. And we have the hope that Jesus Christ himself will come again on the clouds of heaven. And in John, or Paul speaks of that in Thessalonians when he says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And so we see how comforting the gospel is on occasions such as this. We might go through our life, we might go to work every day, and we might go about our business and caring for our children and grandchildren, and that's all important part of life. But in the end, we all stand at the brink of eternity. And when we are in Christ, then we have great comfort. And let us sing also to that effect when we sing from Abide With Me. Abide With Me, and I understand you have a song sheet. Abide With Me, we sing two stanzas. Lord, our God and our Father, we come into your holy presence in this afternoon hour, and we know that we are forever in your presence as we live our lives before your face. We are thankful that we may come here together for a period of remembrance and reflection and to receive comfort from your word upon the passing of our dear husband, Garrett DeWitt, our father, our grandfather. And as we reflect upon his life, then we realize that you have given a rich gift to us, to the family and to the congregation here and to whatever community he has been a part of through his many years. Lord, we pray that you will continue to grant comfort, peace, and hope, particularly to Mom, to her sister Wilma. Lord, that she would know of your nearness and your comfort and your blessing in her life. We're thankful for her faithfulness towards her husband, her steadfastness, her help towards him, that she has been by his side every which turn he has gone, and provided faithfully, also caring for him in his times of great need. And Lord, we are thankful for her and for all that she has done for her dear husband, our dad, our father, and our friend. Lord, we pray that you will continue to be with her in the days, the weeks, the months, and years to come, that she would not grow lonely, but that she will know that while Garrett will not return to her, that she shall go to him. Lord, what a comfort it is to know that when we are united to Jesus Christ, that there is nothing that shall separate us, not only from the Savior, but there's nothing that shall separate us from one another, not even death. For Jesus Christ has gained the victory over death. And we're thankful for that comfort and that we might believe the resurrection from the dead. Lord, we also pray for the various other family members, particularly the children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And we remember especially those who could not come because of the present circumstances we find ourselves in, which make travel very difficult and also has various restrictions for us on how many may meet here together. But we pray, Lord, that you'll be with them, as no doubt many of them are joining via the video link. And we pray, Lord, that even in that context, as they hear the word and as they hear the truths of the scriptures, that they might be comforted to know that their loved one has gone to be with you. And we know that it is far better to be with Christ. We know that Paul expressed his desire, that it was a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And how often, too, our loved one has expressed similar desires to be with the Lord, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Lord, we know that you have given him his heart's desire. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be with those of us who remain here below, and that we would carry on in life with that same hope, that same expectation, that same longing that he expressed as well. And that in this way, too, we would know of the glorious future, the eternity that we shall have with the Lord. Lord, we pray that you will be with all of us in our own particular circumstances. Be with some of the elderly siblings as well. Give them peace and comfort this day as another one of their family has gone to be with you. Lord, we ask that in all these things we would rest confidently in your fatherly care over us, knowing nothing happens by chance, but all things are in our Father's hands. Lord, we ask all these things in the forgiveness of our sins, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We turn in our Bibles to Psalm 16. One of the passages we read not that long ago, even at his bedside and to him on occasion. And let us read the whole psalm, but our focus for both here in the service as well as at the cemetery will be verses 9 through 11. Verse 11 primarily here in the service, and then 9 and 10 at the graveside. But let us read the Word of God. It's a psalm of David. And he writes, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied, who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. May the Lord bless his word to us, not only the reading of it, but also the preaching of it today. Let us turn in to our song sheets again. Let us sing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, and you see three stanzas on your song sheets. Dear Wilma, family and friends, congregation, this past Monday afternoon, your husband, your dad, your grandpa, our brother and our friend, Garrett DeWitt, took his last breath and here on earth and entered into everlasting life. And Wilma, you've been by your husband's side for so many years, and how appropriate it was that you were also by his side as he left this life and entered into eternity. That most certainly was a gracious gift from the Lord, wasn't it? There are few events which are more sobering than the moment when one passes over the threshold of eternity. It's sober because it reminds us of the vivid reality that of what the Lord warned Adam and Eve in the beginning, that the day that you eat of the forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. And into God's perfect creation came death because of Adam's sin. And that means that we have not been created to die, but to live. And so death is not our friend. It's our enemy. And there's no escaping that reality. And if the Lord tarries, each and every one of us will one day face death. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about that? The brevity of life. The Bible speaks of it so often, doesn't it? It talks about our life as being a morning mist which is burned off by the noonday sun, or a fading flower that flourishes for a time, or the grass of the field which eventually withers. And it reminds us, doesn't it, that we're not to live our life simply for the here and now. We're to consider what awaits us in eternity. And how can we prepare ourselves for eternity? Well, when David writes this psalm, it seems like he is facing death, or at least he's threatened by it. And how does he respond to that fact? How should we respond to it? We don't know how much time we have to prepare ourselves. Your loved one had many, many, many years, more than most of us will in reality probably have. We may, but we don't know, do we? Some are taken from this life at a very young age, sometimes as children even. And some are taken at a very old age, such as your loved one. But the reality is that whether young or old, we know that one day we too shall face death. Well, it's interesting how David reflects on it. It's not like David here in thinking about what awaits him in the future is filled with despair and despondency, but actually we see how that he's filled with hope and with joy in that particular context. Even in the face of death, he is able to have hope for the future, and he's able to reflect on that joy which he is going to receive from the Lord. And that comes out so very clearly in the last verse of Psalm 16, doesn't it? You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore, he says. He's speaking of being in the presence of God. He says at your right hand, in your presence. And so he's speaking about that life he's going to have after the grave, after the resurrection from the dead, in the presence of God. And he says, it fills me with hope and it fills me with joy. And he's speaking about the blessed hope of eternity, isn't he? And notice how heaven is spoken of here positively in three different ways. We often think of heaven as the absence of certain things, don't we? And it's appropriate to think that way. There's no sin in heaven. We read from Revelation 21 and we learned that there is no sickness there, that there's no sorrow, there's no weeping, there's no death, there's no sadness there. But heaven is much more than the absence of the power and the effects of sin. That would already make it a glorious place, wouldn't it? If we could remove all the negative aspects of life that have come about because of man's fall into sin, this world would indeed be a glorious place, wouldn't it? Just think of the absence of any physical affliction. No cancer. No viruses. No broken bones. No debilitating diseases. No physical handicaps. The hospitals would all close. The medical profession would be no more. And many of our fears and many of our concerns, they would simply be gone, wouldn't they? It would be a blessing. No more physical affliction. Or think of the absence of death. No more funeral homes. No more separation from ones we love. No more fear of death. No more worry that a loved one will be killed and taken away from us in an accident. What a blessing it will be if we could live together without the reality of death, without the fear of being separated. That would already be a great blessing to us, wouldn't it? Or just think of the absence of any sorrow at all. No more weeping. No more mental pain and anguish over our children or our grandchildren. No more anxiety, no more fear, no more depression, but only joy in this life. That would already be a blessing. And so heaven would be a wonderful place if it was just the absence of all those things, wouldn't it? This world would be such a beautiful place if it was just absent of all those things. But heaven is much more than that, isn't it? It is more glorious than that. And David says it's a way of life. It's a place of joy. It is a place of eternal pleasures. You will show me, David says, the path of life. That's what David says. You remember when Jesus was about to die, he spoke from the cross, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And while he knew he was going to die, he was confident that he was going to walk in the path of life. And even though his body was laid in the tomb for 3 days, he rose again from the dead. You see, he showed us the path of life. Jesus was the first fruits, wasn't he? And then, remember, his disciples, they fellowshiped with him for another 40 days. And then he ascended into heaven. You will show me the path of life. And what is true of Jesus is also true of all those who believe in him. all those who are Christ, all those who trust in him. And therefore, your loved one may knew that he was going to experience life. You see, one who dies in the Lord never sees death. Do you realize that? Because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. We saw, Wilma and I saw, Brother Garrett go from this life to the next life. We saw death, and those who saw him there and saw him since then realize that he's absent here. He's no longer here. We see death. But one who dies in the Lord never sees death. They pass from this life, this broken, fallen, troublesome life, to eternal life. You see, that should drive the fear of death from us, that death is, for the believer, a mere passageway from this life to the next life. It's the Jordan River we must cross, and with its difficulties and challenges, we must cross it. But we know that the Lord is with us in the valley of the shadow of death, and he carries us through so that we might experience the heavenly Canaan, the eternal blessings of God. In your presence is the fullness of joy. You see, the path of life leads into the presence of God. That's what heaven is about, the presence of God. And in Revelation 21, which we alluded to earlier, it also describes the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. And it describes it in such glorious terms, doesn't it? It describes it as pure gold and having clear glass and 12 gates of pearls and 12 foundations adorned with precious stones. And this is a glorious place. And as we read through it, we realize that the writer is trying to describe something which is simply more than we can understand. But normally the Bible speaks about heaven as being with Jesus. Jesus says in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, he says, I will come again and receive you to myself. Heaven is the presence of Christ. Or he says in John 17, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given to me may be with me where I am, with me. Or even to the thief on the cross, he says to him, today you will be with me in paradise. So the scriptures are clear, aren't they? That heaven, above all, is being in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And Paul understood this, didn't he? Because he writes in Philippians 1, he says, my desire is to depart and to what? To be with Christ, which is far better. And he says in 2 Corinthians that he speaks of being absent from the body so that he might be present with the Lord. The presence of God in your presence. In your presence. Will be the fullness of joy. He says, the pleasures forevermore. These joys come from being in the presence of God. Well, we have some joys in this life, don't we? We sure do. And your loved one would have spoken of them freely. He spoke of blessings. He spoke of the good life he enjoyed. And we have them too, the birth of a child or of a grandchild, the fellowship and communion with friends, the euphoria that we experience in life sometimes, the laughter and the joy and the communion and fellowship that we have with one another. But none of us has experienced the fullness of joy yet. The fullness of joy. We have that to look forward to, don't we? Think of the joy that was experienced by the Lord Jesus as he returned to heaven in the presence of his Father. In the presence of God is the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Not the perverted pleasures of the world. Because there's so many things that people call pleasures today which are not pleasured at all, but actually lead to bondage and to death. But here we're talking about pleasures in the presence of God. Pleasures. Now there are Christians alive today who look at all kinds of pleasures in a suspicious way, that if we're having an enjoyable time, that there must be something wrong. But that's not That's not the biblical Christianity, is it? Biblical Christianity is joy in the Lord, isn't it? Rejoicing. Your husband and father and grandfather, he was one who knew of pleasure. He didn't complain much. I don't remember him complaining much. Maybe he did that when I wasn't around. I don't know, but I never heard him complain very much, right? He enjoyed life in spite of all the difficulties he had in the last months of his life. And we don't know exactly what these joys and pleasures look like in eternity, but it won't be the same as pleasures here. It won't simply be sensual pleasures, the superficial pleasures of this day. But it will be, no doubt, as a Christian, delighting in Christ and fellowshipping with one another, won't it? Because it doesn't that give the greatest pleasure? It's the times when we're overwhelmed with the grace and the mercy of the Lord. Maybe you've experienced it before under the preaching or in the sacraments or in your devotions or in your family life. That suddenly you're overwhelmed with the mercy of the Lord, the grace of the Lord. And all fears of judgment, they disappear, they fade away. And you are in communion, you are in communion and fellowship with the Lord in that time. Or you're in fellowship with one another. That's another joy of life, isn't it? The sweet fellowship we might enjoy with one another in Christ. I know that your loved one, as well as you, Wilma, you enjoy the fellowship of the congregation. We love one another, don't we? We care for one another. When we dwell together in unity, we love the people of God. And in fact, we would say that when people are hermits today, even in society, we say, well, there's something wrong there. They're missing out something. And some of us might not pursue this fellowship for various reasons, but when we experience a foretaste of that in eternity, that most certainly, a foretaste of what awaits us in eternity, that most certainly is a blessing to us, isn't it? Pleasures forevermore, joys unspeakable. And we have difficulty describing what that is, don't we? Because we really don't know. Eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. He knows more now than any of us know, right? I'm a minister of the gospel, but He knows more now than I know about the Lord. And the minute we enter into the presence of the Lord, we learn more than we learn in a lifetime of studying and reading and contemplating the Word of God. Because we are in His presence. We see His glory and His majesty. And so His knowledge now is full, isn't it? His knowledge is full of the Savior. Now it's possible that some who are listening today don't have a clue about what I'm speaking about. Well, the only way to have a real understanding of these eternal realities is to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? To experience something of this before even we enter into heaven. Do you know of this certain hope, this certain comfort, this certain joy and satisfaction that comes from believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you see then how you can face death with such calmness? Your loved one passed away so peacefully, we didn't even realize he had passed away. There was no struggle in his death. There was only calmness and peace. He had no struggle there. And part of that was there was no fear of death. We know that the day comes when we put off the body and our bodies are laid in the grave with that hope of the resurrection. Our bodies will see corruption, but there comes a day when they will be raised incorruptible. That's what happens when we enter the grave. Therefore, my heart is glad, we'll see at the cemetery, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in this hope. There is nothing here that will give you the fullness of joy. There is nothing here in this whole world that will give us pleasures forevermore. Because these things only come through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are truly united to Him, we are united to Him in His death, and we're united to Him in His resurrection. And these promises of joy unspeakable and pleasures forevermore shall be given to all who die in Christ. Amen. Let us sing from the program again. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let us come before God in prayer. O Lord, our God and our Father, what an encouragement this is for us also to come to you in prayer during our times of greatest need. When we are carrying our griefs and our sorrows, we might bring them before your throne of grace. And we know that you are the God of divine comfort, that it is a comfort to belong to Jesus Christ, and that nothing happens to us by chance, but all things are in your fatherly hand. What a comfort it is to know that you are our friend. You are a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And you are the one who has gone before us also in the way of death. And by your death you have paid the price for our sins, that whoever believes in you might have everlasting life. Lord, you have entered the grave and gained the victory over the grave when you rose again from the dead. And what a comfort it is to know that Jesus Christ, your Son, has risen again. And so we are filled with hope, even as we will soon travel to the graveside. And there lay the remains of our dear loved one in returning it to the earth. And we're thankful, O Lord, for the fact that we may do so with a certain hope, a confidence in the resurrection from the dead. Lord, we pray that you would particularly be with our sister Wilma, our mom, Lord, that she would have comfort and peace, knowing that this is but a temporary separation, and that the day comes when she too shall enter into your presence. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless her in the days, weeks, and months to come, that she would remain steadfast, looking to you in faith. Forgive us our sins, even from this service. Be with all those who have watched through the video link. We're thankful for their presence here. We pray that you'll bless the word of God to them also from afar. And we ask all these things In Jesus' name, amen. Shortly, we will be traveling to the graveside. My understanding is that the funeral director has said that you perhaps wanted to open the casket once more. Is it not going to? Okay. So they're not going to open the casket, which is fine. So why don't we perhaps stand while they wheel the casket out of the sanctuary.